Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Saved and Sassy podcast with myself, Randy Mendez, and my co-host, Crystal Riley. Good morning.
Good morning. So happy to be here.
I am happy to be here as well. And it's funny because it's Monday and I feel like I'm geared up and I'm ready and I'm ready to like run my race again. And I've shared this with you before, Crystal, but this whole year, this last year, I've been focused on like running my race and identifying what my race looks like and not running somebody else's race, right? Because I think that that's something that happens to us a lot as women and women in career spaces. And then this today, the podcast topic is really focusing on Hebrews 12:1, and it essentially is about running your race, right? And I think that it's so important to talk about like what running our race looks like and the difference between our race and God's race for us.
What does that look like?
Sometimes there could be a difference, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the rat race of today, right?
Right.
And that's not where God wants us at all. It's hard to really sit. I think it could be difficult to sit and find the peace in what God wants us to do and what God's calling us to do and step into that direction and not compare ourselves into society and what society thinks or what we think society thinks. Those are all different things.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, and not even just society. So society, absolutely, right? Society, 100%. But also ourselves. So I was just sharing with you before we got on the call, you know, sometimes it's about putting our head down and doing the work. And one of the things that I talk about in real estate that is so important is ignoring the noise, right? You got to ignore the noise, not to say that you shouldn't be aware of like what's going on, but sometimes it's just a matter of putting your head down, doing the work, and, you know, reaping what you sow, right? But that can be a little bit tricky as a believer because it's like, I'm doing the work right now. And it's like, there's something for me to do every single day. In fact, I had a joke with one of my business partners because I was like, well, I'm not caught up. And she's like, haven't you learned we don't ever catch up? Like, it's not a thing, right? So there's always work to be done. And the caveat is when you're a believer is that you cannot allow the work to take over the race that you're running either. And, that's where I think it can get really tricky because it's like, I'm doing the right things. I have my head down. I'm providing for my family. I'm taking care of my clients. I'm building my business. But it's all of a sudden we look up from the race and we're like, oh, wait a minute, right? Like I have been existing in this place where I've been doing really well when it comes to doing what I'm supposed to do, which I am supposed to be a good steward of my career and of my clients, but I'm not being a good steward of my relationship with God as much as I should be. Right. So he's getting like my afters and my leftovers. And so running our race really also involves knowing the priority paths, right? What paths within our race have to have priority.
Oh man. I mean, and how do you decide what your priorities are? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that you are faith, family first. Faith, yeah. Family, career first. Faith.
Yeah.
Yep. I know your logo, man, I'm butchering it. Faith first. Faith,
family, right? Real estate, but go, it's okay.
Thank you. I'm like, man. And I think that that's really important to put God first. And I think that whatever you're doing, you do put God first. And because you are such a strong believer, I really think that your walk looks different. So then you're a little harder on yourself when you know what it could look like or what you've done in the past. So I'm going to challenge you to shift your perspective because everything you do is God related, right? I don't think you're like, I didn't think about God today. Like, I don't think that's a...
No.
Right?
Not thinking about him isn't an issue. Sometimes
or including
not
him in your life.
Yeah. Sometimes just not intentionally sitting with him is...
Okay.
But I think you're onto a powerful topic.
Because I was, so at different seasons in our life, our relationship looks different with God. And if we are, you know, what about these people that are not where you and I are at in our lives, where we want to like be, I mean, we are all in and, you know, we go to church and we do read our Bibles, maybe not every single day. I don't know about you, but me, I have it out today. It's very pretty.
That's good.
but there's a lot of people that aren't where we are at in our relationship. And I really want to express, like, God desires our hearts, right? He wants our hearts. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He wants to be included in what we're doing. It's not, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to go to church, you have to read your Bible for 4 hours a day, you have to pray to him. You have, like, there's not all those requirements of the shoulds that we think that we do. And he really wants our hearts, and he wants our to have that relationship. So he wants us to seek him in all things. That's what the Bible says, seek him in all things. So, like, when we wake up in the morning, and I wish I did this. Well, I mean, sometimes I think about, I wish I would want this. There's no action or follow through behind it, but I would love to include him, like, with what I eat. Maybe I'd be skinnier because I'd make better choices because, oh God, do you want me to eat this today? Okay. Right. No, I eat like 17 pieces of caramel chocolates because they're so super delicious, and I bought them at Costco and I don't know how to stop eating them. I can't even hide them from myself, cause then I go make the effort to go find him anyways, ice cream or whatever it is. I love sugar. But I'm working on not loving it as much. I'm breaking up with it soon. I don't know when, but it's coming.
I think you said something really powerful though. And it made me think about one of the things that the world says the loudest, that I think that the world has gotten better in acknowledging, is women needing, you know, self-love or self-care or self-preservation. Mm-hmm. And this is where I just like to challenge it a little bit, because not to say that a spa day wouldn't sound great or something like that, but I really do think that that self-care and that self-preservation is time with God. And it's sitting with him, and it's allowing him to refine us. And we talk about this a lot. We talk about the fact that, you know, the closer you are to God, the more you live in refinement. And when you live in refinement and you're trying to do all the things and run your race and be the mom you need to be and be the wife you need to be and the career woman you need to be, that can all come together and just be extremely deflating if you don't learn to sit in his goodness, right? And so when it comes to running your race, one of the paths that you need to prioritize is sitting in his goodness, sitting in his abundance, just sitting and enjoying it. Whether, you know, for me, I'm always in awe. Like, I am the sunrise girl. And something that I think, okay, when we're running our race, I think we can sometimes miss God on our path. Mm-hmm. And so as I was just saying that to you, that, like, sitting in his goodness could be, like, for me, you know, I enjoy sunsets and sunrises. Well, funny enough, as I've had my head down doing the work, it's almost like clockwork at sunrise that I wake up. I don't stay awake at sunrise necessarily, but I wake up and I'm like one-eyeing it to the bathroom, and then I'm coming out, and what always gets me is the sunrise. I'm always like, dang, that is a gorgeous sunrise. Now, I'm sitting here in instant aha and conviction, because I'm like, oh, he's waking me up. He's waking me up and he's saying, let's sit together. And I'm missing it. So where are you missing it? Because until I just said it out loud, I just thought it was convenient that the person who hates mornings and doesn't wake up well is just all of a sudden waking up at sunrise. Like, it's just totally natural. And then I happen to be seeing these epic sunrises every time that I wake up. No, it's him on my path. I'm running my race. And he's like, hey, I'm here to give you that high five. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to refill you. And so running that race, it's so important that we recognize who's there to cheer us on and who's there to champion us. And we sit in his goodness with him, right?
Absolutely. I think that's really important. And we do miss a lot of things, and God does give us opportunities all day long. And we get so busy and wrapped up into our race, we don't take that. And, you know, I encourage people all the time to, like, listen to their God tuition. We all have it, but because everything's so noisy in our lives, we don't listen to that God tuition. And so if we took that time and we started recognizing what our body does, how our, you know, like, our bodies are really intuitive. I have a situation recently and I really didn't want to believe it to be true, even though every time something was said, I'd have this feeling in my stomach, which is, I know that's my God tuition,
right?
But because I'm hypersensitive, I'm in tune with my body. I do know what it is. Now looking back, I'm like, God, I totally saw this coming. You prepared me. Why? What was I thinking? Not knowing that was my God tuition, like, again, it's very frustrating. So mm-hmm. we can be in tune, but we have to pay attention. And he tells us and he guides us and he leads us all the time. Like he's, and he wants that relationship with us. And we just get right. too wrapped up into what we think we want or what we think should be or whatever the situation is, our rat race. And then we get distracted.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, when it comes to running our race, especially as women, as moms and as wives, I think number one, you know, we have to push the status quo. We have to challenge the status quo, right? We have to refuse to conform to what the world wants us to be. And we have to allow ourselves to like really dream about what we want and then put that to prayer to see if it lines up with what God, the calling that God has on our life, right? And then I think when we learn to embrace the imperfections and stop, you know, apologizing for being authentic, then the next layer of our race can really develop. It's like, if we learn like, you know what, I've identified my race based off of my relationship with God, my season of life, you know, my purpose, my calling, I'm going to run it. And I am absolutely going to make mistakes and I'm going to be imperfect, but I'm also not going to beat myself up and exist in those places. And I'm also not going to feel that I have to apologize for being authentic and running my race. I think that that's another big misconception is as Jesus followers, I'm guilty of this, often think that we have to be doormats, right? We often think that we cannot be opinionated or we cannot be bold or we have to do these certain things a certain way when that's absolutely the opposite and not the truth.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm a little tongue-tied here. I think it's absolutely the truth. Like, I don't know, God, I think it's easy to get wrapped up into the should-haves and the would-haves and the could-haves.
Yeah.
And every single person is different and we need to give ourselves grace, but we also need to take action.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the winning recipe is surrendered action, right? Mm-hmm. That is the winning recipe. The winning recipe is doing the work, but staying in a place of surrender, doing the work, but staying in a place of connection with God, right? So that you can immediately, like I so quickly, something that used to take me so long to navigate can happen like this now. Like, I mean, you know, instant revelations because I have that instant connection to God. So it's like, he can refine me quicker and we can move on quicker and we can make the progress. I completely agree. And I think also part of it is, you know, is forging our own path without fear, but not because we are fearless, which again, going back to the world tells us like, girl, you can do anything you want. No, girl, you cannot do anything you want, but you can do anything through Jesus. Cause you know, God can do anything. All things are possible with him. And so I think that that's the next component is remembering that as Christian women, we are not all capable. We are not the ones that have it all together. We need to live in that surrendered life, right? We need to lay things down at his feet.
Absolutely. I mean, through Christ who strengthens us, right? Like lean into not our own understanding, his understanding. There's so many scriptures, like, and I repeat those all the time, and living in that surrendered place and not just surrendering, like the situation, surrendering the outcome, surrendering, like how we show up in it.
Oh yeah.
Like there's so much to the whole surrendering because we can surrender and say, okay, I trust you with this, but then we pick it back up too, or we pick a piece up or, you know, and it's easy, but it's hard to live in that surrendered life. Like I've really, really surrender was my word. I don't know, like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I don't remember. And last year was obedience. I do not encourage anybody to have that word. It's stupid. and then this year's being intentional, but just seeing, and clarity was the year before. So intentional must've been 4 years ago or not intentional. Surrender was like 4 years ago. But I had a lot to surrender, right? Because I, you know, we pick things up when we hold on to them. And then I ran events for almost 10 years and it's discouraging and you want to tie things to results because you want to make an impact and you think that's what you're supposed to do or whatever the story was in my head, right? And and it's easy to like be in real estate and tie it to results, right? If you, right. if you're a good real estate agent, then you sell houses, right? That's duh, but that's not really, I mean, ideally that should be what we think, but maybe that's not God's plan for us either. And we need to think like, instead of, if we live that surrendered life and we truly surrendered our businesses and we invited God in, how would our businesses be different?
Yeah.
You know, we would be more understanding to God brings in our clients, and we have an abundant mindset through Christ. We are serving who God wants us to serve, or what desires us to serve, not who we think we should serve. Right. Right. And so I think that there's a lot that we could continue to surrender, as we continue to grow in Christ and apply it in all areas, you know, in our businesses, especially.
Yeah. I think what you're really saying is that we are called to have a biblical response, right? So mm-hmm. we're called to have a biblical response to everything that we do. And, you know, that's in our business, that's in our life. And also, you know, a lot of times, especially in business and in life as well, there can be a lot of regrets. And like you said, shoulda, coulda, wouldas, right? But that's also like, we need to go back into the grounding truth of, you know, if God wants it for us, he'll give it to us one way or another, right? Mm-hmm. So there is no such thing as a missed opportunity. There is no such, I mean, there obviously are, but it's something that you're going to have through God, right? So not with God. So yes, you may have missed the opportunity to bring something to light today, but if God wants you to have it, no matter how bad you miss the mark, he will still deliver, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what you're saying is really powerful when it comes to, you know, understanding that we have a duty to have a biblical response in every aspect of our lives. As mothers, as wives, as career women, we need to be responding from a biblical standpoint, which can we just say... If we just say it can be hard, that can be so freaking hard when it's like you just want to choke somebody, right?
Well, you know, I think I was wishing an agent was going to step on Legos, but it was better than the alternative, which was my first thought. And then I had to repent. I was like, oh man.
Right.
You know, we're not perfect. Okay. We are not perfect. Right. So.
No, but it goes back to, you know, being unapologetically authentic, right? Like you can... This is the misconception, right? One of the biggest misconceptions about Christians is that we are perfect. We are absolutely not perfect. In fact, we're, you know, so far from it. But we can be unapologetically authentic, and it may even be a mistake without beating ourselves up and without devaluing who we are, and we can still course correct that and have a good biblical response to that, right? So leaders, this is the next thing is, just as leaders in business, Christians in the world shouldn't have the response of, I'm right and you're wrong. We shouldn't have the response of, I'm not willing to like look at my actions and see if there's something I could have improved, or, you know, self-reflection. In fact, we should have that. We should absolutely have it. We should have it, you know, and we should practice it. It should be part of our regular ongoing practices. But that, again, goes back to, we don't have to walk around timid and apologizing that we have opinions or beliefs that don't line up with everybody. How many times do we tiptoe as we start a conversation and we avoid it, or we don't want to go into it because we are fearing offending the other person more than we are fearing standing for God's truth?
I just had that conversation with my mother this morning, a little bit different, but about having the hard conversations. I think it's so important to have the hard conversations versus, because I think when you have the hard conversations and you do it with love, then that's where growth happens. And if you don't, if something's happening and somebody doesn't agree with it or whatever you want to call it, and then nothing is said, the other person doesn't know that they need to change. We just don't know. You don't know what you don't know unless somebody has that hard conversation. So I don't have a problem having hard conversations. I embrace them because I can grow. I can be better. God does his work, whatever.
Yeah.
And it allows, it's a really beautiful space to be in, but not everybody's open to receive those hard conversations. So then you have to say, I've had to learn that I have to ask people, well, are you open to receive what I have to say? You might not like it, right? So I have to ask permission because I know I have kind of more of an abrasive personality. So I've softened it. That's my soft side. Are you open to receive what I'm going to say to you? I don't always get a yes, but I think it's important, especially when we're doing what God's calling us to do and God's putting that nudge on us to say the hard things or have those hard conversations. I think it's really important that we trust what God wants us to do and that we do it from a place of love, not a place of anger or bitterness or frustration or whatever. So there's a fine line, and I don't know why I just said all of that, but you're welcome.
No. You're 100% right. There is a fine line. And unfortunately, we live in a highly sensitive society where everything is taken personal. And when we express something, you know, 90% of the time it's in a personal attack. And so we do have to, this is again, where it really benefits us to be connected to God, because it's that moment and that opportunity to say that I'm about to open my mouth, you know, allow your words to come out, allow your approach to come out. God, soften the heart of the person on the other side, soften my heart, enter this, flood this conversation, right? We need to, these are ways that we are able to practice having God actively in our race, right? So as we're going through that race, every single thing that we do, if it just right before a meeting, if it's right before we open our mouth, if it's at the beginning of the day, you know, one of my main prayers here, Jordy, you can have this. One of my main prayers is, Heavenly Father, allow everything to come out of my mouth today that is from you, right? That is from you, not from me. And, you know, and I have even moved from not just the words coming out of my mouth being honoring to God and words of him, you know, from him, but to my thoughts, transform my thoughts, allow me to get to the point where, you know, the words, I know they're from you because they came from the thoughts that are from you, right? And absolutely. So those are the quick moments and the simple ways. And that's a tactical tip for our listeners, you know, just cover everything in prayer. And it doesn't have to be long and robust. The thing is, like you alluded to earlier, God is after our hearts and he knows our hearts. So even if it's a 5-second prayer, if it's 5 seconds of God, please enter this, flood this conversation right now, I need you, he's going to feel that 5 seconds as opposed to a 35-minute, you know, scripture filled point reference, deep dive prayer, right? Like it doesn't have to be that complex, but it does have to be that pure, right? It
can be Holy Spirit help. Like when we don't know what to do, Holy Spirit help. It doesn't have to be complex at all. It could just be Holy Spirit help. I often pray for a filter over my mouth. I've done that a lot over the years because I know I have a strong personality. I know I can be abrasive. And so I've really had to pray for God to soften my words and just to have that gentleness. And then I pray for more of God, less of me. That's a daily prayer.
Yeah, that one's
more God, less of me, because you know, I can get full of myself, I'm sure.
Yeah,
everybody can. Don't leave me alone on that one.
Allegiance with pride? No way. That's
never. So just really removing that, you know, and it is pride, removing that pride and just asking God to work on me and help me show up how he wants me to show up and inviting him into that space, because I think it's important because he does. He just wants our hearts. He just wants to be part of our lives. And if we invite him into all the things, then our lives not promise to be better, but I think it's better with him than without him. I couldn't imagine all the things that I've been through with my life, looking back. And if I didn't have God, I don't know how I survived half the things that I survived, like even from my childhood into my adulthood. And because God's been in all the things. And so I don't know how people do it by themselves.
Yeah, no,
that's I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Or a corner in an alley. I don't know, something bad.
I mean, I completely agree. So to wrap it up for our listeners, you know, as you're running the race, understand that first and foremost, you have a race that you are called to run, not just a race that you are going to run because, you know, the world has championed you and now you're going to run a race that you want to run. So there's a difference between the race that you're called to run and the race that you may want to run. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really start challenging that status quo and the race that you're running and make sure that you're surrendering that to God. As you are on the path, make sure that you're embracing the perfections, right? The imperfections, embracing the imperfections. So also make sure that Yeah, right. Make sure that you're also reclaiming the power within God, the power within his ability, right? So don't sit in those, dang it, you know, moments where you beat yourself up. Immediately go back into that gratitude of the power that he comes with and the fact that he is going to deliver for us what he wants for us. Mm-hmm. Remember to continually redefine our success, no matter what path we're on, whether we are moms, whether we are wives, whether we are career women, we often can start running a race. And if we are not continually checking that compass, if we're not continually sitting at the feet with at God's feet, if we're not continually sitting, you know, diving into his word and asking him to reveal to us who he's calling us to be in this season, then we inevitably begin to chase a ladder that is not ours. And so make sure that we're not only redefining success, but we're often checking that success and that we're breaking the chains of fear, not because we are so amazing, although we are amazing because we are created in God's image, but more so because God is amazing and he is so capable and he is capable of all things. And so break the chains of fear, because we can do anything when we are equipped through him, right? And then practice that self-love, but not self-love of the world. Not saying, and this isn't a bash to say, that you can't go enjoy the day at the spa on your own or something like that. But learn that sitting in that self-love means sitting in time with him and really allowing his goodness to refill you. And so figure that out. See where he's waking you up for the sunset and make sure you show up to enjoy it with him. And then be unapologetically authentic. That doesn't mean you don't apologize when you make mistakes or you fall short or you can learn. In fact, it means that you do, but do not feel that you have to apologize for being authentic. Rather, authentically show that you're willing to always, you know, reevaluate who you are and make sure that it is grounded and rooted in the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully this podcast was valuable to our listeners. As always, if you're listening on any of our podcast platforms, please leave us a review. Let us know in the comments, you know, how this podcast is serving you, anything that you would like to hear, anything that we can do to bring additional value in your life. And if you are not yet in our Facebook community, the Saved and Sassy Society, make sure you head over there and you join that community. I know Crystal has also been working alongside me to start bringing a little bit more value and more conversation and more connection there. And so we would love to see you connect with us there as well. So thank you, friend, for another wonderful episode. And we will see you guys next week.
Awesome. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, guys.